Thank you, John, for that song. And you know, we claim that promise, and we know it is truth that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Does it always feel that way? And we say, no, there are times when that does not feel like the reality, and we, by faith, we grasp a hold of that, that yes, He does not forsake me. He does care for me. Well, Julian read the verse that I was planning to, and so I'll just read it again. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're chosen. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are chosen. And Christ says in John 15, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That is special. And it's a bit like an adopted child. A parent chooses the child. I have chosen you. It's a special belonging, and that is a gift. So we are chosen. We are called to be a royal priesthood. We intercede. Now, it's in Old Testament times, royalty and priesthood were not combined in the same person. It was separate. But here, through Jesus Christ, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is our great high priest as well. And it's brought together in one. And we are privileged to be identified with that as royalty, as well as having a priesthood. We are intercessors. And that's a tremendous blessing. We are to be an holy nation. Earlier in 1 Peter 1, verse 15, he writes, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or your manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And again, we realize that in and of ourselves, we cannot be holy. It is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that our sins can be washed away, that not only can, but they are washed away, and we become holy. And we believe that by faith. Sometimes I don't feel very holy. If I'd ask you to raise your hand if you always feel holy, I don't expect very many hands. We don't always feel it. But through Jesus Christ, we are a holy people. And then a peculiar or special people. And again, sort of going back to John 15, he chose us. And that makes us special. Because that is who we are, these descriptions, we have values that reflect this. The values we embrace and live out will be different from people who embrace the worldly values. And as he says here, you know, in time past, There was a time when we did not walk with God. We were not a people of God, but now we are, and we have obtained mercy. And so we embrace a different value system than worldly people do. And I'd like to just briefly look at the value statement that we have. And maybe a little pop quiz. How many values can you name? I'm going to exempt the leadership from this one because sometimes we look at these more frequently. How many values can we name? There are 10 of them. Just pop them out. Scripture. Family. Stewardship. Obedience. And someone else had another one. Devotion. Separation. Missions. Okay, it's brotherhood is the value we have here, but yes. Mm-hmm. Two more. What's the first one on the list? Anyone remember? Grace. Grace is the first one. And then down number 8, the description is we fight evil through sacrificial love. And so those are the values, and just like to just briefly look over those and feedback. What is grace? What does grace do for you? Answer either question, what it is or what it does for you. The unmerited favor from God. Thank you.
It enables us.
It enables us. Mm-hmm. There are often two scriptures that come to mind. One of them is listed here. One is not. It's the. Here it's written, the grace of God leads people to salvation, transformation of life, and perseverance in faith. In Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's one thing that grace does. It provides salvation. We're saved by grace. The other one is written here in Titus 2. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and this is what grace does. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And so if we're experiencing the grace of God, it calls us to a different lifestyle than the world. The grace teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Scripture, the Bible leads people to Christ, grounds in truth, guides in life, and brings believers to maturity. And the verse there, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can we overvalue scripture? And I don't think we can. It is the record that God has preserved for us that we can know of him. Now, this is not maybe the person of Jesus Christ, which is the highest revelation, but we find out about Jesus Christ through the written. And we also have the Holy Spirit, which reveals things to us. But scripture, value it, spend time in it. Memorize it. Devotion. Following Christ involves a personal, passionate surrender to God and sensitivity to his Spirit. And I like to think, as we do that individually, when we come together corporately, it makes a difference in what worship is. If half of the people are experiencing devotion personally, we're going to have a different service here than if everyone is experiencing personal devotion to God. And so we encourage that the personal connection with God, but it's a blessing when we come together and we do it corporately and we express our devotion to God, whether it is through prayer or preaching or singing and in fellowship. And then obedience. Our love for God results in daily, ordinary living by faith in and submission to him. And the reference, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And later Jesus says, he that keepeth my commandments dwelleth, I better quick look that one up. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so obedience to what God teaches us is not really just an option. Well, if we think it's all right, then, and it fits sort of our program, then it's okay to do. And if not, then it's option. That's not what obedience is. The follower of Christ, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, lays aside the worldly interests, and we are committed to obedience to our master. Brotherhood, the family of God, marked by love, submission, and transparency, nurtures and shapes our lives. It's allowing each other to speak into my life. I allow you to speak into my life. You allow me to speak into your life. And it strengthens us as a family of God, as the body of Christ. All will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Missions. The disciples of Christ complete his work of preaching the gospel and serving humanity. And it's something, again, do we do it perfectly? No, we don't. But every single one of us is called with a mission to spread the kingdom, to let the kingdom expand. Recently had a conversation, so does the kingdom get greater or not? And I'm not sure, can we describe it as greater? It just is, sort of like God is. You can't take away or add to him. It just is. And yet he invites us to somehow help it grow and reach more people for him. And I appreciate people who do it locally as well as those who do it further away. We are all called to be disciples of Christ and bring the gospel and serve humanity. Separation. God's people will be the minority and out of sync with the dominant culture. As we were reading there in 1 Peter 2:9, we are called to be a separate people, a holy people. We don't look at the world and the world does something and so I'm not going to do it. The world goes to Wendy's, so I will go somewhere else. No, we don't have that mentality, but it's we're separated unto God. And that makes us different. We have a different set of values than what the world has, and it reflects in how we live. Sacrificial love. We fight evil through sacrificial love and redemptive prophetic presence as Christ did. It's easy to say that, yes, this is what we value, this is what we do. But when we have someone who we struggle with, then it's a struggle to exercise the sacrificial love. But it is what Christ calls us to do, to love our enemies, to pray for them that hate us and mistreat us. Family. We value family. Marriage is the union of one man and one woman for life, and children are a blessing from God. And as we heard last Sunday, whether you are married or single, you are a part of a family. We all come from parents. And a godly family is a tremendous blessing and a gift, and we embrace it. Stewardship, we manage, share, and enjoy God's gifts, life, talents, the gospel, possessions, etc. There are so many areas where you can go with stewardship, whether it's time, your money, your possessions, the social capital that we have, everything that God has entrusted to us, we are called to a stewardship. When we're going through a hard time, I think that is a stewardship that God is entrusting to us, that we steward it well and we don't become bitter, but we allow it to grow us. If we're going through a good time and things are going well, that's a stewardship that is entrusted to us, that we use it for the glory of God and not to somehow make ourselves look good. There are so many facets of this stewardship. As each has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that in all things God may be glorified. And that's what we want to do as a body of Christ, called out people. We want to glorify him. Up on the top of the vision, mission, and value statement, it says, purposing to know and glorify God. And I trust that is our heart for all of us. I invite you to stand for prayer. Father in heaven, it is a blessing and a privilege that you have chosen us. You know that we were on our own way, and you called us back to yourself, and we say thank you. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ, through his blood, and that we can be saved by grace. And I pray that that grace would continue to do its work in our lives to transform us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. I pray that you would direct this evening. I pray that you would receive glory in everything that is said and done. Thank you for your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.